It is day one of the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord in the Film Festival headquarters in the Main Street Arena talking to filmmakers. I have with me Doug Berry, the director, star, writer, and all around everything of Faux Pause, and I'm going to spell that. That's Faux, F-A-U-X, and then Pause, P-A-W-S. The title itself is a little bit of a there's a little bit of wit in it. Faux Pas screens Sunday at 5 p.m. Doug, this is your, we were just discussing this, this is your fifth time here with the film in 10 years.
In 10 years.
But this is your first full-length narrative feature film.
Actually, our very first time in 2004, I believe it was a feature that we made for $700 called Cold Readings. But this is...
Is that the one where you were a preacher?
I was a psychic.
A psychic,
that's right.
Okay, all right.
Who does it as a scam, but then gets the power for real and has to kind of weigh the morality of that.
Right, so. That screened at the late lamented Vinegar Hill Theater.
It sure did.
All right, but Faux Pas screened Sunday at the Paramount.
Wow.
That's a little bit of an upgrade there.
What a gorgeous place to be performing in, and it's the best place in the area.
Yeah, that's just astonishing. You must be beside yourself.
Oh, we are.
Okay, well tell us about... Tell us about Faux Pas, first of all. What's it about?
So Faux Pas takes place in a society where werewolves, it's been discovered by the government that their saliva has a magical healing quality and that it can be mined for profit.
You said werewolves.
Yes, and so these werewolves are captured and they're kept in penitentiaries.
Like animals.
Yeah, and just to tap their stuff to sell. And so two of them decide they're going to make a getaway. And they decide that the only state that they can be free in that's werewolf tolerant is the state of Maine. So they've got to make a road trip. They've got to get there. It takes them several days to get there, in which time they run into some roadblocks, let's say, with people who are pursuing them and trying to capture them. But they decide to spend a night at one of the hero's homes, his family home. His family has never seen him change. And so they're all a little anxious. And
so this is a werewolf buddy family road comedy.
Sort of.
Anything else you can throw?
With a lot of pervasive language. And but it is it's a funny picture. And we decided we were going to make a movie about intolerance. This was all based on about 2008 time frame when Proposition 8 didn't do too well, or gay marriage didn't do too well in California. And I wanted to make a movie about intolerance, and I initially started thinking about, okay, let's pick how we persecute gay people as a whole, and let's transpose that into a werewolf character. And then I had a writer friend who just said, you know what? Just go for it, man. Make it a gay werewolf. What are you thinking of, dude?
It's a gay werewolf buddy family comedy road trip.
Yeah, you got it now.
Okay.
And so then once I decided it was going to be a gay werewolf, well, he has to have a partner that goes across the country with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to write it like a married couple. And I think it comes across pretty well.
Okay, so you said we. Who is your partner in this?
So Brian Weimer, who's my co-star in this film, is a gentleman who I was taking acting classes with many years ago. And I said, you know, someday I'd love to write a part for you. Would you do it? And he said, yes, I will.
As long as it's a werewolf.
Well, he didn't know that. And he didn't know it was going to take me 5 years to get that part together. Uh-huh. But we finally did, and he was right on board. And so were many A-list actors from the Charlottesville community who just loved the script, as did the technicians who worked on it, just loved it.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at the cast, and, I mean, they should be very familiar.
Absolutely.
The cast should be very familiar to people who... you know, are plugged into the film scene or plugged into the acting scene here in Charlottesville. So
absolutely.
It's very much a Charlottesville-based production, but it kind of goes all over the place. So where did you film it, and how did you film it?
So we filmed it a lot in Crozet, a lot on the roads in and around Charlottesville. We used a lot of remote locations. There wasn't a lot of urban shooting at all because that didn't fit our story. We took a lot of places without any kind of permission, but we just kind of pulled up everything and said, let's see if we can knock this out in a half an hour, and we would.
So let's add guerrilla filmmaking to the list.
It was, but the beauty was, for the first time, I had a crew that had access to a RED camera, a very highly sophisticated camera that emulates 35 millimeter that a lot of current independent films are using. So we got that. We got an excellent sound on this. We are going to be a work in progress because not all the green screen is done. So you're going to see some frames where there might be some green hairs in a beard, something like that. But don't get too crazy. We're working on that. We're fixing it. But you're going to be the first audience to ever see this. And I think, man, you need to buy a ticket just for that, just to be part of this experience.
Well, and you may have the single best production still. I mean, when we went to the press event, you know, they talked about the films. You know, that's when Jody announces the festival and who are the big stars and who's going to be here, and everyone goes ooh and ah. And then the still, which I'm looking at here in the program, and is also on the cover of this week's Seaville.
Yes, and this was done by a friend of mine named Chris Grimes, who's an excellent photographer.
Of you and Brian. Looking, well, all the world like gay werewolves.
Yeah, we do.
When that still came up at the event, everyone went from gasping to just laughing out loud.
And how do I not look good in leopard?
Well,
it's leopard on leopard.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
On.
Who doesn't? So, okay, so this is the, as we said at the top, this is your fifth time in 10 years and three rows in a running. Remind us of some of the... For people who have been coming to the festival for
sure.
A while.
So we had a film very early on, 10 years ago, called Cold Readings, which we talked about a second ago, about the guy who becomes a psychic. And then we had a documentary called My Day with Conrad, which was about one of the last surviving members of Plan 9 from outer space, the infamous worst film ever made by Ed Wood, but I happen to love Ed. And this guy lives up in West Virginia, and I got to go up and spend a day with him and make this cute little documentary about him, which everybody seemed to like. I know it's been hijacked, like, in every country in the world. There's websites. I can only read, like, my name and the title of the film. I don't know how they got my stuff, but they hijacked it. But you know what? They're looking at it, so good.
Yeah. So our next film was
Our next film was Growing Up Kaysen,
right?
Which was a documentary that we did make in the local Charlottesville area about the Kaysen family and their roots growing up here in Charlottesville since the Depression. And that was a pretty big hit. We almost sold that guy out. And then last year we had The Dog Stays in the Picture,
right,
which was a documentary about our Boston Terrier that lived with us for 13 years, and I was able to capture all that on film. And then we were had a rescue dog that came in at the end of that sort of makes the bookend for that picture. So
I'm talking with Doug Barry, director, star, co-writer, faux pas. There's your producer, Judy Barry. It's a very, very similar sounding last name.
Judy's my wife and has been my partner in crime for about 30 years now. And she plays so much of a role at home that she chooses to stay out of the limelight. But the decisions that she helps me make as a producer are really sweeping and big. And she has this innate talent to just look at something that we've been working on and just kind of say, okay, well, I think this needs to happen. And it'll be a major piece of work that has to happen, but she'll be right on, and we'll fix it. And she's the one that will sit there and go, yeah, you nailed that. Now you got it.
Okay, so this is a work in progress.
Yes, it is.
You just have some post-production bits here and there to put together. It's getting its world premiere. You're at the Virginia
Film
Festival.
Pretty much.
At the Paramount.
Yes, it is. Yeah, at the Paramount.
Sunday at 5 p.m. What happens from here?
Sean, I would love to see this film obviously get seen by audiences. I don't know how that's going to happen, how we're going to get that to distribution, but I'd like to see that. And also, I hope it's going to lead to more work, doing more films.
Right. Well, that's going to lead me up to my next question. Do you have something in the back burner?
You're a screenwriter as well as I am, and we're in the same screenwriters group. And I've probably got 10 projects at home that I could go with. And the next thing I'd really like to work on is a horror film that I worked out a little bit with the group. It's been around for a while. But I actually got it into some contests where it placed pretty well as a first draft. And I think it's going to be like a real scary film, like the old kind, where it's not gore slasher stuff, but it's really just killer suspense and creepy kind of things.
Nice.
So I would love to do that.
So tell us about Sunday. This film screens at 5 p.m. at the Paramount. It's 92 minutes. Afterwards, you're going to be there. Your wife, Judy,
she's
gonna be
probably
there,
not going to be up on stage, her choice.
Okay.
But it will be me and Brian on stage
and
for
Brian
sure.
On stage. So are you going to be in costume?
No.
Are you going to reenact any scenes from the...
No. But Brian is going to look more hairy than he did in the film. If that's possible, but he will be.
Yes. Well, I remember when I interviewed you here last week for your dog picture, you had the beard going.
I had started it. Yes, I did.
Because you sat down, he said, I'm doing this for a picture. It's like the first words out of your mouth.
I did get recognized as Santa Claus twice last December, which was kind of cute. And I got two ladies who were my age who deferred to me in a line because they thought I looked like Santa Claus and they shouldn't get in front of me. So I grew that hair for a year, and I said, I will never, ever do that again. You just can't even eat food with that hair, man. What's going on?
Yeah. Well, again, good work.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this. Congratulations on coming back. Not only coming back to the festival 3 years running, but such a plum
with a bang
screening time. I mean, yeah. Sunday at 5 p.m. in the Paramount.
We couldn't be any more over the moon, man.
Yeah,
really.
That is just terrific. Good to talk with you.
And, thank you, Sean.
Hell, let's do this again next year.
Absolutely, Sean.
All right,
rock on. Thank you, Sean.